It's November 5th, 2021. This would be the what I have heirs with an H, H-E-I-R-S, heritage and inheritance. All we're doing is we're going through those three words in the scriptures, but actually what that actually does, it unfolds the whole word of God, actually, because it gets into the nation of Israel. It gets into what the Lord Jesus Christ did. It gets into the Acts period. It gets into the mystery, and it gets into the total plan of God. So the thing about, we have to keep solidly in our minds, who we're talking about, whatever scriptures we might read, because we're going to be going into Numbers, or we're going to be going into Romans, we're going to possibly be going into Ephesians, and we're going to go into Daniel, Isaiah. And so whenever you're reading scriptures, I think we should have within our minds who is being talked about or to, who the Lord is trying to reach, and who they are and what their calling is. And like we spoke about last week, we were talking about the word heirs, and we found that that Christ is emphatically spoken about when talking about the an heir, because we stated that he was an heir as a son of Adam. He was an heir as a son of Abraham. He was an heir as a son of David. He was an heir as a son of God. That was in our last study. And I will say this, that whatever we read and study about in the Word of God, and this could be elementary, but points to the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Everything about the Word of God points to him. The law points to him. Sacrifices point to him. Faith point to him. Our calling points to him. The heavenly Jerusalem points to him. And so all things point to him and his finished work. Noah was spoken about as being an heir of God. Israel and the saints during the Acts period and even today are heirs of God. And so what we're going to do is, I made the statement here, is that we're going to study about heirs, heritage, and inheritance in this study. And what we're going to do is now we're going to look back on Israel. All right, so Israel is a interesting subject. Where is Israel today as being a nation of God? Well, they're not. They're not a nation that is. They have an opportunity of knowing the mystery. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. They can know the mystery. A Israelite can know the mystery as well as any one of us. But as far as being a chosen nation on earth, whereas God is physically using them in their tabernacle or temples to be an example and a blessing to the world through God and his word, they are not. And so what about them? What about them? What is their calling? What is the Lord doing with them? How does this work into the scriptures? What is their inheritance, for one? And then we know that there was a calling during the book of Acts. There was an inheritance that was given during the book of Acts. We know that after the Acts period, a phenomenal mystery, a sacred secret was put forth through the Apostle Paul that in particular has its own inheritance in the super heavenlies, which is writing to Alan, and I said, isn't it amazing that we walk the planet in this flesh, and any of us could bink we could have a brain aneurysm, drop cold dead. The next thing we would know is manifestation in glory in the Son of God at the right hand of Almighty God. And that to me is some striking reality, if you will. Some striking reality, because in fact that is reality. When our flesh dies, the next thing we know will be our inheritance in the super heavenlies in Christ. That's the next thing we will understand and know in our minds. And so, just the, I don't know what the word is, the dichotomy, the polarity of this place and that place is something, I don't know what that would do for you, but it does things for me, I suppose. You know, but I'm a little crazy, but to me, I love thinking about things like that. And certainly that would provide strength for us because, you know, whatever is happening, ultimately nothing really matters. You know, so that can, that's a real peaceful, strong point to have. And so, at any rate, that was a little bit of a sidebar there. Let's turn to Numbers 26, 52 through 55. All right, so what we're doing now is, what we're doing now is we're looking at the inheritance of Israel, because Israel has an inheritance. Has Israel been blessed with their inheritance on earth yet? No. When will that happen? Interesting question. When will that happen in history? It hasn't happened yet. They rejected their Messiah. They crucified their Messiah. They rejected the Holy Spirit's work throughout the Acts period. They were set aside as a nation. Well, what about them? Has God forgotten Israel? Absolutely not. Well, where do they fit in as far as the plan of God is concerned? Where do they fit in? Where does their inheritance fit in? Well, this has to do with Daniel chapter 9, the weeks of years. And, you know, I think somebody was talking about what's happening in Israel right now. That could have been Chico talking about what's happening in Israel now. Some people are thinking, well, this is it. You know, this is it. This is the end now. You know, the Lord is going to return every day now because of missiles flying into Israel. Well, I don't believe that whatsoever. I believe that the weeks of years of Daniel 9 have to be played out. According to that prophecy, we're 67 weeks have been fulfilled already, and there's three to go. And if in the reckoning of that, if you reckon a week of years as, 21 years, well, then the Lord's second advent would be in 2085. That, taking into consideration that the Acts period ended in AD 64, when the 67th year was completed. Okay, so my belief is that the Acts period was 35 years, 5 times 7, 5 weeks of years. The Lord was crucified in the 62 and 5 is 67, with 3 to go. And so my mind says that whatever happens over there, they got a little ways to go over in Israel. And there's going to be a lot of, how do you put this? There's, strange things are happening. There's no doubt about that. I wish I could go back to my old neighborhood. But, you know, that's not happening. That's not facing reality. But I think that, you know, the weirder it gets, imagine if, in fact, 2085 is the second advent of Christ, how weirder could things get in 60 years? You know, and so I look at it as, I look at it as being, it's getting very godless now. Maybe it'll be almost totally godless by then. Maybe totally. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe the word of God will be outlawed. Maybe people like us will be thrown in jail. Maybe worse. We have no idea. but things are, there's always possibilities. Looking at Numbers 26, and we find that, thanks a lot, Chico, for, and all you guys behind the scenes, what you do. A lot of people don't know what you guys do behind the scenes, and that it is, in fact, work. Thanks a lot. All right, so looking at Numbers 26, finally, we're going to read about Israel. Well, okay, well, then, when is Israel going to gain their inheritance? That's the first question. And when? Yeah, when in history? Okay, so we look at Numbers 26, and again, this all has to do with being an heir. Numbers 26, 52 through 55. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance, according to the number of names. All right, so we know that there's 12 tribes in Israel. To many thou shalt give the more inheritance, and to a few thou shalt give the less inheritance. And to everyone shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of them. And in other scriptures it talks about how many people were here at this time. And I believe I read a scripture that said there was something like 630,000 of them. I'll look up again. Oh, according to the lot. Oh, yeah, verse 56, according to the lot shall the possession thereof be divided between many and few. And, the word lot, choosing by lot. I was once accused of choosing by lot has to do with our calling. Choosing by lot had to do with choosing two apostles. Choosing by lot had to do with Israel's inheritance. And one guy ignorantly said, oh, Mike's got the Father rolling dice in the heavens. And, you know, what an idiot. I'm sorry for saying that. What an idiot. Because if you look at the word lot, study it out. Study out the word lot in the scriptures, and you'll find there's a lot about lot in the scriptures when dealing with callings and inheritances. Sorry to use that word with this guy, but that's the way I felt, because he wasn't, he was just working through his own fleshly brain of the world, you know, rather than consulting the scriptures. It goes on to say it in November, in Numbers 26, verse 57. And these are they that were numbered of the Levites after their families. And it goes on to number the families of the nation of Israel. Okay, so the nation of Israel was given lands as an inheritance. Now, what's interesting is if you turn to Numbers 18, Numbers 18, 20 through 24, and I thought this was very interesting. Talking about the Levites, by the way. And, just in the back of my mind, when I'm thinking about the Levites, I'm thinking about the tabernacle, somehow I feel that there's an association between the church, which is the body of Christ, the fullness of the Son, and the tabernacle in the heavens, and worship. There is something in my mind that, how can I say it? How can I say this without being blasphemous? But when I read about the Levites, they were separated unto the Father for his purpose. And so are we. And they were separated unto God for a purpose in the tabernacle of worship. And I think that so are we. And you could say, well, that's a real stretch, Mike. Well, maybe it is. But maybe you could tuck that, no matter how you feel about it, tuck that in the back of your mind as you study our calling. And, yeah, whether that's really off base or not, well, it's a thought. Anyway, and so we turn to Numbers 18, and we find this, Numbers 18, 20 through 24. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. Listen to this. So who was Aaron? Well, he was the man that was head of the priesthood, the head of the Levites. All of a sudden, the Levites have no inheritance. Well, we just read about the families. Well, we didn't read hardly anything about the families, but it's starting to mention the families of the Levites. But, you know, the Levites themselves had no inheritance. The priests in Israel, apparently, according to the word of God, had no physical land inheritance on the planet. Okay, so, oh, really? Well, I didn't say that. The word says, here we'll carry on. Going back to verse 20 of Numbers 18, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. That's interesting, really. Why not? What's wrong with the Levites? I am thy part and thine inheritance. I am thine inheritance. And to me, I see an equation. I see an equality. Let me say this. What are the words? I see a type there, possibly, that I'm not mixing up callings. I'm not mixing up the Gentiles or Israel or the earth or the super heavenlies. I'm just saying that there might be something about us being the Father's inheritance, which in fact we are, according to Ephesians 1, which we're going to get to. We have an inheritance and we are an inheritance. All right. And there is a difference between being an inheritance of God and having an inheritance in God. One, to me, if I'm an inheritance of God, somehow we're pretty important to him. Pretty important to the Father. We have an inheritance in him, but we are special to him. Are we high-minded in that? No way. No how. I think that a true son of God of the mystery is going to be a humble person. Because, for one, they're going to see what the evil one did with himself. We're going to see, we saw what the evil one did with power, with wisdom, and himself, and caught up in ourselves. And that is extremely dangerous, by the way. Might not feel that way as you go on, but if you get caught up in yourself and in this world, you're going to go down a primrose path that's going to end up in destruction. That's a fact. And so we all should take heed that we're special of the Lord, but we have a potent enemy and we have a battle constantly. And so why is that bad? Why do we have that? Because we're special. That's why we're special. That's very real. Very, very real. And so the Levites were special too. And it says in verse 21, and behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel. Israel apparently had a tithe, whether it be money, food, whatever, I'm not sure. And then a tenth was given to the tribe of Levi in order so that, and it goes on to say that they were given a tenth of Israel for their service, for Levi's service, the Levites, which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. We are a tabernacle in the super heavenlies, according to Ephesians. Goes on to say, neither must the children of Israel henceforth come near the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. Whoa. Okay, so we leave those Levites to their job, and we stay clear of anything they're doing until they are commanded by God to come out and let us know what God is going to have for us. Goes on to say, all right, in verse 23, but the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. And you know, I find that to be extremely interesting. Do I have all the answers to what I'm talking about? No. But I just, you find that extremely interesting, I guess I will say at this point. Turn to Isaiah 2, 1 through 5, please. Isaiah 1 through 5, and so we're talking about the inheritance of Israel, what they're heirs to, when their calling will be realized. Okay, and it says in Israel, it says in Isaiah, chapter 2, and the millennial kingdom is where we're going to go a bit now. The millennial kingdom is a very interesting subject because not a lot is written about the millennial kingdom, as far as I know, in detail. Now, the tabernacle was, the oblation is written about in detail. But the millennial kingdom in itself, I don't believe, is written a lot about. But we have a prophecy about it here. And this has to do with Israel and their inheritance. And it states in Isaiah 2, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Has that occurred yet? I don't know any period of time in the scriptures where I find that. And many people shall go and say, come ye, listen to this, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, awesome, on earth, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, that's an interesting subject, too, I would imagine. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords unto plowshares. Now, we've, you know, you hear that here or there about the nations beating their swords unto plowshares. But let's be a little bit more intelligent and distinct about it, okay? Let's say that's talking about the fulfillment of Israel's inheritance in the land on earth, the millennial kingdom. Will the earth be destroyed by nukes? No. No way, no how. And I think, as a matter of fact, I think Almighty God has intervened in man. I think he intervened with Hitler and with Stalin. I think he intervened with Russia and the nuclear crisis. I think he's intervening right now so no crazy guy pushes the button. And I think that's all by the power of Christ, folks. I think that we exist today by the power of Christ, and all the people on the planet exist by his power too, no matter what they think about him. And let's read verse 4 again of Isaiah 2, 4. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords unto plowshares, and their spears unto pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. You really, Lord, you're kidding. No more war on the planet? When's that going to happen? Well, so we're going to talk about that. Well, we're going to read Revelation chapter 20 and read it all the way through chapter 21, verse 5. And again, in the back of our minds, how many spheres of blessing do you know of that there are? How many spheres of blessing? That is to say, I don't know, how do you describe a sphere? The super heavenlies is a sphere. That's a sphere of blessing. The New Jerusalem is a sphere of blessing. The millennial kingdom is a sphere of blessing. How many spheres of blessing do you know? Well, as far as I know three so far. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. That's interesting. That works into this picture too. When's that going to happen? Is that the millennial kingdom? This inheritance fact is working into all of these callings. So we turn to Revelation 20. And I suppose that, today, we're not going to get much past, I don't think we're going to get much into our calling, which is utterly tremendous. Utterly, it's unspeakable. I don't know what the words are. I don't know what to say. As a human being, I don't deserve to know any of it. I know that. That Almighty God would give it to a sinful creature like me. It boggles my mind. Who is he and who am I? Who is he and who are you, by the way? Do we deserve anything? Do we think that we deserve anything out of the realm of the blood of Christ and his work? Yeah, we do. We deserve death. That's what we deserve. And so I suppose if in the flesh you think you're something, well, or I think I'm something, well, that little axe there will put a chunk out of your being in that fact. You deserve nothing. I deserve nothing. And yet, who is Almighty God and we're given the highest calling that he ever gave to human beings? I mean, I don't know how, if anybody can describe that in a bunch of chapters or a book, send it to me. Revelation chapter 20, through Revelation 21:5, and this is going to explain the millennial kingdom, and then it's going to explain the New Jerusalem. It's going to explain Satan and what happens to him, and it's going to explain the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. It's going to possibly explain when in history, if you will, these things are going to unfold. Let me just say this, that I think it was Noss, Alan Noss, a bunch of weeks ago, he was talking about the weeks of years, and I think that he said that he believes there's 3 weeks of years left. And he believes that, well, of course, the tribulation is the last week of years. So that takes care of 7 years. What about a week of years 68 and 69? Well, he said that tabernacle in Israel is going to be rebuilt. And I tend to agree with him, because how do you know that the end of time isn't here? Well, do you see in a temple of Israel being built upon the temple foundation where that mosque, the Dome of the Rock, is? From my understanding and what I've studied, I believe a temple of Israel is going to be built right across the street, if you will, from the Dome on the Rock. In my studies, I mean, that could be a complicated study, but I believe a temple has to go up right almost within a stone's throw of the Dome of the Rock. And then there's going to be peace and safety. For a while, I believe that there's going to be a covenant between the Muslims and the Israelites for a short period of time. And then the man of sin is going to walk into that temple of Israel and claim to be God. And then we're going to be in the throes of some real, real bad happenings. That's what, speaking out of my brain, that's what Mike believes. And so what? Well, I'm going to say this. Let's put Revelation 20 on hold for a minute and go back to Daniel 9. I forgot to do this. Daniel 9. Just so that you know, I'm just not making these things up. You know, but Daniel 9, if you ever want to get into a study that, you know, it's not about our calling, you know, but I think that we can study other scriptures and we can be strong in our calling. You know, if we're really good students, you know, studying about Daniel 9 is very rewarding. Matter of fact, I think it keeps you stable. And so studying about our calling is extremely rewarding. It keeps you stable. And so so here we go. Daniel 9, 22 through 27. And he informed me, this is a vision of Daniel, and talked with me and said, "O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved." We are greatly beloved. Also, Mary was greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the beginning, from the going forth of the commandment to the restoration, to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Okay, so we have 7 weeks and 62 weeks, I believe, here. Now, you know, I just gotta hold on here and try not to make any mistakes, because this is very important. But, you know, I'm human. I can make a mistake. But what we're talking about here, okay, so let's just read it. Okay, again, know ye therefore and understand, verse 25, that from the going forth of the commandment to unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Okay, 62 weeks is 62, and 7 is 69. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troubles. And so this could be an inkling that the temple in Jerusalem will be completed by the end of the 69th week, with 7 years to go, which will be the last week of the 70 years. After 62 weeks, that's 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, or he shall be crucified. AD 29. And the people of the Prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, and thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. All right, so what we're moving into the last couple of verses here is I don't believe we're talking about the people of Israel. It's talking about a flood coming in, desolations coming in after the temple is built, and he's going to confirm a covenant with many. Well, it's a possibility that this is the satanically indwelt being, that he's going to confirm a covenant with Israel for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So he's going to form a covenant with Israel in the 70th week. For 3.5 years, it'll be in force. But after 3.5 years, he's going to show the world and to Israel who he is. Satan incarnate. and then the oblation of God or the sacrifice of the true God will cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so, let's turn to Revelation 20 now. And I got a few minutes here left. You know, but all these things work together. And so, you know, in my world, I'm just trying to put together the callings of God, the blessings of God, the inheritances of God, what God is doing, how he's working, why he's silent today. It's another one. Why is God silent today? Why is he allowing all these heinous things to happen on the planet? There is an answer. Revelation 20, and maybe I'll just read Revelation 20 through Revelation 21:5 and then stop there and come back to this, if you will. So, when will Israel have their inheritance fulfilled? Well, right now they're lo am I, they're a not a people of God. Has God forsaken Israel? No. God forbid. He hasn't forsaken Israel. So what happens? Has Israel killed their Messiah as a nation? Yes, they have. Well, then, are you saying that Israel as a nation might be given a second chance here, if we want to use those words? Well, maybe so. Looks like it. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. The millennial kingdom. Satan is bound. Okay. Well, what's that all about? What's that for? And we know. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Well, we're entering a period of time in this 1,000 years that was never seen on the planet before. Not from Adam to this very day. Because Satan has been able to work his work from the time of Adam to this very day. But for 1,000 years or for a day, he's going to be shut up. That is going to be different times for sure. It's got to be. No temptation from the evil one in this world, not the prince and power of the air for 1,000 years on this planet. That's going to be, you know, maybe kind of glorious. I don't know. You know, I'm just thinking. And it goes on to say, and I saw this, what am I doing here? Oh, yeah. Verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, and that is getting back to the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, I believe. Neither had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Awesome. Well, who are these people? Well, we've seen that they've been beheaded for the name of the Lord. That's some of them. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. Well, that's another subject. But shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of the sea. And so, interestingly enough, the Lord 1,000 years, some have said that David will be on the throne in his place, co-regent. That's another story. But for sure, the word of the Lord, the truth of the Lord is going to go off for 1,000 years. And apparently Satan's going to be loosed after that, and there's still going to be millions of people that don't believe in the Lord, apparently. You know, apparently. I mean, the nature of man, you know. All right, and they went up, Gog and Magog, they went up of the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints above, the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. All right, so when is this? What's the period of time? When in the plan of God is this? Is this during the tribulation? No, it's not. This is after the tribulation. Is this part of the millennial kingdom? No, it's after the millennial kingdom. All right, so Gog and Magog are after the millennial kingdom. They don't have to do with the tribulation. Okay, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for the age of the ages, whatever length of time that is. I don't believe that to be eternally at all whatsoever. The age of the ages, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And one thing I forgot to do, maybe a few things I forgot to do here, is have proof about Israel and their inheritance. And certainly that's found in Jeremiah 31, which I forgot to read. But what we can do is we can go back to that, because I'm going to say to you that it's the resurrected Israel that has its part in the millennial kingdom. And so I believe that the new covenant to them, that is, I believe that Jeremiah 31 speaks of that, but I forgot to speak that out. But let's go on to, let's go on, verse 11, and a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Interesting statement. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell, death and the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the death of death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All right, and so I could continue on with Revelation 21, but let's retract here to 2 Peter 3, because 2 Peter 3 is talking about this time that's occurring in what we just read. Because a verse that we read, it said that the heavens and the earth had no place. Well, what does that mean? There was found no place for them. What in the world is that? And so, we see in 2 Peter 3, 1 through 13, and I guess I'll end with this, but this is important, because it's important to try to know the whole plan of God and to try to know callings and where they fit, because we can, I guess, you know, and why not? This second epistle, 2 Peter 3:1, Beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and commandment of us, of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall be in the last days scoffers walking, after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens which were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, well, this is another study, whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, the overflow, perished, but the heavens and the earth that are now, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, not water, against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord... Okay, so, as Ronnie points out, the days, is this the day of God? No. Is this the day of Christ? No. It's the day of the Lord. Will come as a thief in the night. Okay, and is this a tribulation? No. It's not. This comes after the tribulation. This comes after the millennial kingdom. Because what's going to happen? So how could there be a millennial kingdom on a melted planet? And so it goes on to say, and what's more, Satan is going to be destroyed in the lake of fire. So this is after he was loosed. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The universe will be on fire and will be burnt up. It was a pristine spiritual creation at one point, and then it became waste and water. And the Lord's going to bring it back. And he's going to bring it back by fire to destroy that which is waste and wild. Makes sense to me. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy and conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God? Well, that's another study. Wherein the heavens, well, the day of the Lord and day of God. Well, the day of God, okay, apparently the day of God, I wonder if the day of God and the day of the Lord are two of the same things. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Well, we're going to read about that in Revelation 21, interestingly enough. And so I think these scriptures beautifully piece together. And so next time what I'm going to do is, I will attempt to go back into the Old Testament and read that God has not forgotten Israel, and that he's going to raise them up, and he's going to place them in the millennial kingdom. And then I suppose that, is all Israel going to be saved? Well, you know, that's I don't know. I don't know that. Some other folks might have a better understanding of that. Send me anything you can, write it down, email it to me. I want to know. And so, thanks for being here. And, I'll just try to continue the study, and, I hope it was edifying to you. I'm thoroughly blessed by just knowing the Word of God. And so, hey, thanks for being here. You're the greatest people on earth.